listener production. This is your Wednesday edition of Footy Talk. David Zaharakis joins us ahead of a bumper gather round where the AFL world descends on South Australia. We discuss what's going wrong with the Crows. We get Zach's thoughts on the Essendon edge. And where to for the Tigers after all of these mounting injuries. That's all coming up on Footy Talk. Welcome back to Footy Talk, where you get all your news, interviews and analysis in the world of AFL. I am Abby Holmes, and we do things a little differently here on Wednesdays. Unfortunately, our fearless leader in Jack Heverin's taking a well-earned morning off, but we do like to take a look at the football from the player's point of view and give you an insight into what it's like to be behind the headlines. So, Abby here, as I said, and I'm joined by David Zaharakis in studio today. Zaka, always great to see you.
Always great to see you, Abby. Gather around this week. Excited.
I'm pumped. I mean, I'm a South Australian girl.
This is your week.
This is my week. Was there last year. It was amazing. But you just know that last year was just dipping the toe in the water. Mm. You know, this year they're going to go bigger, better. And I'm packed up. I'm ready to go. I'm going straight to the airport from here.
You're heading off, aren't you?
I can't wait. But you're not getting over there this weekend?
You're very jealous. No, I was meant to be there this week, but some functions got canned that I was meant to be involved in. So disappointed about that I can't get over and amongst it, especially because Essendon have got a big game, which there are some big games which we'll
Friday
get into.
Night,
but yeah, I'm disappointed I'm not getting over there.
Do you like the concept?
Love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I love the magic round the NRL started years ago, and the AFL's now got off the back of that. And I would love to see it move around though.
Would you?
Yes, in a couple of years.
So it is locked in for 3 years in South Australia. But do you think it would work anywhere else? I mean, Victoria, you have to cancel because we are very fortunate to get so many games here each and every week. But I feel like Perth is too far, Queensland too far, Adelaide, I don't know, it's just very central corridor, people can drive over from Melbourne, it's just an 8-hour drive, so I just feel like South Australia works perfectly.
You're right, South Australia is the perfect location. If Sydney were probably more of a football state than what they are, they're obviously growing in that area, but that would work there because it's pretty central too. Mm. I think Perth within WA would pump. Obviously, people wouldn't necessarily be able to travel 3, 4, 5 hours to get there. But I think actually in WA, if they trial it maybe for a year, I think people of Western Australia would absolutely love it. Mm. It's obviously a massive footy state. So I know there are quite a few teams that have quite a few supporters in WA. But yes, it is bit far to travel probably for people on the East Coast.
We're very excited. The entire Triple M crew is pretty much going over there. They're en route to Adelaide as we speak. We saw Billy Brownless is over there already. They did a big live show, Channel 9, of course, for their footy show last night. Did you, by any chance, I know we had dinner last night, so it was, I've seen it this morning though, but Isaac Rankin has the voice of an angel. How did we not know about this?
Yeah, I didn't see this. You were telling me this before. What song did he sing?
Oh,
do you remember?
Well, you keep talking and I'll find out.
Yes, please do. I remember when I was at draft camp many years ago, Stephen Motlop started singing at draft camp.
And
it was the voice of an angel.
The Fray,
when I heard
look
that.
After you.
And I was,
The Fray,
I love The Fray. Mm-hmm. But then I remember hearing that and thought that was unbelievable that a footy player could sing. But I missed Isaac Rankin's singing last night. But you were clearly blown away by it.
He was brilliant. I saw it this morning. Guy Sebastian commented, just going like, bro, what? He's a number one ticket holder at the Adelaide Football Club and not even he knew that Isaac Rankin could sing. But on the topic of Rankin, let's talk about the Crows in general. What is going on? I am a Crows supporter, have been my entire life. I was very, very bullish on them coming into season 2024, purely based on the fact of what we saw from them last year and the improvements that we saw. At the end of the day, they missed finals narrowly by an umpiring decision, you know, against the Swans. So I was very bullish on them coming up, but they're 0-3 to start the year. Where is it going down for the Crows?
Yes, well, I had them, if you remember a couple weeks ago, I had them in my top eight.
Yep.
I had them eighth on the ladder there. I heard Matty Nix the other night and I was watching it talk on the TV that their offense is just nowhere near as where they thought it would be right now. And he also mentioned that they're not, he goes, I think he mentioned, and I'm going to ad lib here, that it's not a reflection of where they are at.
Yep.
But when someone says that, but they're 0-3, this is a reflection of exactly where they're at. You have to kind of realise that where you are as a side, you haven't started the season well. Your side is sitting 0-3 and you've clearly got a lot of areas to work in. Mm. You know that your best is up there, but there's obviously something going on there, whether it's coaching, whether it's players not buying into the system, where players are just out of form, whatever it is. But this is exactly where they're at. You are 0-3 in the AFL. Results matter in the AFL. They need to get their offense going. I spoke to you a couple of days ago. Last year they had a 33-year-old or 34-year-old Tex Walker kick 75 goals and their offense was unbelievable. Can you replicate that a year after? I'm not sure. It hasn't started well. But that's basically what got them to the point where they were competing for finals. Yeah. I'm not sure whether you can rely on someone like that to do it again.
Well, you can't have Walker and Fogg kicking three behinds against Fremantle last Friday. But since they beat West Coast round 13 last year, that was a 122-point victory.
Yep.
They've gone 4 wins, 9 losses. And their wins have come against North, Port, Gold Coast and West Coast.
It's not great, is it?
But the Crows look their best when they can kick their way through congestion, right? As you said, they are one of the best and most exciting transition teams in the competition last year. Now they're sitting towards the bottom of the ladder in that measure. But I would prefer to see them get scored against heavily on transition this weekend against Melbourne, but us be able to see their identity and their DNA come through in attack.
Just on that, you look at their scores. They've had 54 points against Gold Coast. Yes, torrential rain, but 77 and then 34.
Mm.
You're not winning many AFL games. They haven't kicked 100 points yet this year, but even they haven't even got over 80 points yet in three games they've played this year. Their offense is struggling. They need to get better. And like you said, they need to be more ballistic off halfback, take their chances. Riley Thilthorpe is obviously a massive out for them up forward because he is that young upcoming player that they want to rely on too down there. So he's a massive out for them, but they need to get a lot of run off halfback.
Well, on that, exactly. Wayne Miller, that is a terrible loss for them for the rest of the 2024 season. He's got a ruptured patella tendon. He actually suffered that same injury back in 2021. So our heart breaks for him. But they do have Hamill and Parnell in their sample side at the moment who can potentially step up and make the most of an opportunity. Through injury comes opportunity to some of the other fellas on the list. But that is a huge loss for them in the way that they do want to transition off halfback.
Yeah, it is. And I think you hit the nail on the head there with opportunity. When you're at a club and the club's struggling, so they're 0-3 to start the year, young kids who are playing in the sample think, all right, this is my opportunity to come in, really make an impact for the team and try and cement their spot in the side for the next 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. You want to cement your spot in and play well even for 1 or 2 weeks. But then you can really think about, all right, if I come in, have an impact for my side, I can really change the dynamic of the season, give a bit of motivation, uplift, energy in the side, and then we can really turn our season around from there. So it's a great opportunity for young kids, especially early in the season, because the season's not away from them. There are only three losses.
Yeah.
But they can really come in and create a spark and just cement their spot in the side as young, energetic, youthful talent, and hopefully they can kickstart their season.
How frustrating is it, though, as a player? Look at Jordan Dawson, for example. He was another one who spoke on 360, I think it was. But when you and your team are not, I guess, playing at the level of which you know you're capable of, like that must be very frustrating. And it's easier said than done to try and flick the switch and turn things around. But there are certain players on this Adelaide list who are well under form.
Yep.
It's not an easy fix.
No, it's not. And it's hard because obviously what happened to them last year, they were so close to making finals.
Yeah.
Last year, and then they built it up so much with the media and the public and also probably internally how close they were last year. And you really want to start the year then strong to prove that you were a really good shot at playing and winning finals last year. Then you start the season like this out of form. Mentally, it would be playing on their minds a lot. To try and drag yourself out of that is very difficult. It would be very frustrating because they just want to perform and also prove to the footy world that they are a great side. And all that hoo-ha about last year, about they should have made finals and all that, they're really not backing up their talk, but they really need to change that very quickly.
Well, we're going to get on to our thoughts of the week. You're going to kick it off with your score reviews on the umpires. You're not going to give them a whack, are you?
I'm going to give them a whack.
Oh, no. Well, last year I came in here and I defended the umpires. So let's go, you and I.
Well, I just think it's very frustrating as a fan watching the footy that you know that every goal is now reviewed from the internal system. So why are umpires right now with a soft call as a goal stopping play and asking the umpire to review it? Because if they just called a goal, the ball would go back to the middle. And if there is, in that 30 seconds, you've got a chance for the arc to review it. And then the play can just resume like a normal 30 seconds break if nothing is touched or it's a point or whatever. Right now, they're calling too many soft calls, goals, and stopping the play at the same time.
I agree with that, yes.
That is so frustrating to watch. If you think it's a behind, fine, I'm fine with it. But if you think, and the umpires should be, I'm blaming the AFL. I'm not actually blaming the umpires. I'm going to the top. The AFL.
You're going to the top.
I'm going to the top. The AFL should be educating the umpires more, or if they're not. Sorry, if they are, then it's the umpires. But if the AFL is not educating them on, well, if you think it's a goal, just call it a goal and then we review it and it's on us to then do it. It's not on you. But I think feel too many umpires are calling soft calls, goals and reviewing them.
But off the back of the Adelaide-Sydney decision last year where it wasn't reviewed, do you think that the AFL's directive to the umpires is that we have to be 100% certain in these situations because ultimately a team missed out on playing finals due to an umpiring decision on the goal line.
But see, on that one, if the umpire just called it a goal, in that 30 seconds they review it as the ball's going back to the middle.
But even then, yes.
It would have been a goal. So it would have been fine. The play or the play would have been then balled up and continued on. So AFL umpires, please stop calling soft calls, goals and reviewing them. Call the behinds if you feel like that and that needs to be reviewed. But the AFL review it anyway. So,
all right. Well, my question to you then, are umpires basically calling themselves out of a job? Because the AFL has come out pre-AFL season this year and said, we are going to be trialling ball chip technology in the VFL, VFLW competitions. That's happening as we speak.
Yep.
If this is found to be successful, do we then lose goal umpires? Do we lose boundary umpires? We will still absolutely have field umpires. There's no doubt about that. But if this ball chip technology is going to be so strong that it can tell us if it's a goal or a behind or if there was a spike on edge or whatever it might be, will we lose those umpires?
Look, I hope we don't. For the tradition of a game, it would look very weird if there's no goal umpires down either end of the field.
Yeah.
That would look very weird to me. And also boundary umpires, I still feel like we need them because you can't review every time it almost goes out of bounds or not. And if you had the ball chip technology, would the ball light up if it goes out of bounds maybe?
Yeah.
But then you still have to have someone to throw it in unless they go to the last touch rule. So all that kind of comes into play, exactly how the umpire or the AFL want to do it. But I feel like they're calling themselves out of the game, especially the goal umpires at the moment, because I know there are a lot of fans who are getting frustrated about what we just spoke about.
Yeah.
So they're not making fans want them or happy about them in the game because there's been so many boundary ball line decisions this year. Kyle Langford playing on in Sydney. There's been a lot. Higgins kicking the goal outside. So they're not doing themselves any favours so far this year. But I think, I don't think you'd be able to get rid of them. Because one, you need an umpire to throw it back in. So unless they go with last touch. And the aesthetics of no goal umpire would just look too weird for me, someone who's loved AFL for 34 years of their life, no goal umpires down either end. I'm not sure about that.
Do you want to hear my thought of the week?
Yeah, I definitely want to hear your thought of the week.
So Laura Kane came out yesterday and said, look, with the Jack Ginnivan, things on the weekend where he was clearly caught high. He should have been given free kicks on a number of occasions, right? But because of his past and previously he might have potentially played for free kicks, Laura Kane came out and said, yes, we got a few of these wrong. Do you believe that if a player deliberately dropped the knees, shook the shoulders to try and bring on a free kick, that should then be adjudicated as a free kick against? Because then that's actually a deterrent for players to stop trying to get free kicks.
Yep. First of all, I'd love to see, because it's always, how am I going to describe this? So when she came out and said that yesterday, I would love to see specifics. It's so easy to say, oh, we missed a couple out of the five incident or whatever. I would love to see them go, these are the two we missed on video and these are the three that we didn't for more clarity, because it's so easy just to say, oh, yeah, we missed a couple, because then you keep the public happy and Hawthorn supporters like, oh, yeah, they admitted they missed a couple. Well, which ones are you actually talking about? Because they were very similar incidences on the weekend in that game. And to answer your question, so one of my best mates growing up, Luke Shuey, he was a king at it in that 2015, 16, 17, 18 period where he would always grab it, put the arm up and get a lot of free kicks. I think he kicked a match-winning goal against Port because he got a head-high free kick basically doing the same action. And that's when the AFL really started to try and cramp down on it. When I was playing in the last couple of years, the AFL did come to us and say that if you'd put the arm up, that was going to signal prior opportunity to you, and then you'd actually get holding the ball again, paid against you, because that's an action. You had an action of actually, rather than maybe handballing the ball, you put the arm up, and that was your prior opportunity. So I'm not sure whether that's changed this year, because it seems to be very hard to get holding the ball. Now with Jack, I feel the same, as in he's just shot himself in the foot, where there was incidents on the weekend where easily should have got a free kick.
Yeah.
But then as soon as the umpire, I reckon, sees that kind of swinging motion of the arm, they're just not going to pay it. It's unfortunate for him, because he's created his own bias in the AFL, and there are other players that probably do the same thing, whether they swing their head through.
But that's the thing. The incentive is currently there for players to go to ground, to drop the knees, to try and get a free kick. However, if they knew that they're going to turn over the footy, the opposition's going to get the ball, therefore I believe it will take that motion out of the mind of any player, and it'll also put their head out of risk, because a lot of players are leading with their heads.
Yep.
And if that's going to happen, they're going to turn over the footy, then hopefully that ultimately eliminates it from the game.
I feel adjudicating the swinging of the arm would be a lot easier than a slight drop of the knee, because players pick up the ground ball, you're already bent over, and then you kind of lean your head to kind of turn to the side.
Yeah.
That would be harder for an umpire to assess that as a normal play or ducking your head, compared to as soon as you see that arm swing, the umpire should not call a head high, because the player is instigating that. It's very hard. That's the unique part of AFL.
I think
we always get so frustrated with decisions, whatever, but for the last 150 years, AFL is not black and white, it's grey.
Mm-hmm.
This is the uniqueness of the game. This is why I love it. Every year we're going to have these decisions, calls, few fans. One year it might work for your team, one year it might not, but this is the uniqueness of AFL. You cannot change AFL to be black and white.
Oh, we love this game, don't we? It's a very good start by you, David Zaharakis. We must get to a break, but stay with us, because after this, David Zaharakis talks about his Bombers, and we'll also chat the Tigers. Welcome back to Footy Talk, your Wednesday edition on the eve of a massive weekend of footy. Round 4 action coming all from South Australia. It is, of course, Gather Round, and we cannot wait to get over there for this weekend. I'm heading straight to the airport after this. I'm very, very excited. But, Zaka, your Bombers.
Yes.
Whew! They were very impressive on the weekend, but they've got a massive game on Friday night, Port Adelaide, prime time, Adelaide Oval. It's going to be a big test for them.
It will be. And I thought on the weekend it was a good opportunity or a good yardstick game for them against St Kilda. St Kilda obviously beat Collingwood previously, and the Bombers were really testing themselves. Obviously, Sydney were a tough one the week before, but they stood up against St Kilda, especially because early they looked in trouble. That first half, their ball movement, they couldn't really move the ball. St Kilda was set up really well. I was there watching it behind the goals, and you could just tell they couldn't work out how to move the ball through St Kilda's defence. And then after that halftime, Essendon locked the ball in their forward half, what seemed like most of the second half. St Kilda then, it was roles reversed. St Kilda couldn't move the ball through. They owned territory, and they just locked it in. But I will say, though, it wasn't the highest skill game.
Yep.
If Essendon play like that for the rest of the year, they won't win, or they'll lose more games than they win. So I'm not bullish on the way they move the ball, their skill errors. I feel like they have to clean up a lot of that, but I love their defensive pressure, their axe, the way they held the ball in their half. But they need to fix up their skill errors and turnovers.
Jakey Stringer just doing what the package does, stepping up when his team needs him.
Delivers, doesn't he?
He always delivers. But on that defensive pressure, the Essendon edge, I think we're all enjoying, not really knowing what it is, but seeing it at the same time with their relentless pressure and defensive efforts. They're hunting in packs. They're running in numbers. Is this the case of Zach Merritt?
Yep.
Incredible, right? He is
leading the way.
He is the one that epitomises, I believe, whatever this Essendon edge is. But it's pretty impressive to watch, isn't it? And it's just certainly the way that Brad Scott's got this team playing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, and even when I played for the last probably 10 years, we've always been a team that's been pretty easy to score against. We struggled to defend the ground from our D50 to forward 50, or opposition's D50 to forward 50. And I think when Scotty came in, I know from a few players that he basically addressed the group and said, if you don't chase, defend, tackle, you won't get a game. And he put them on notice basically 18 months ago. And it might take this long to develop what exactly that looked like. And now that has turned into a potentially a phrase called Essendon Edge. I love it because to be able to turn a culture around and turn a playing list around, you need to do these things when you're at the bottom. Mm-hmm. You can't then all of a sudden, if Essendon start winning a few games and they're playing pretty footy, then they turn into this when they're sixth on the ladder or seventh on the ladder. And everyone goes, well, hang on a sec, why are they changing the way they're playing now to get to this point? You need to do it when you're at the bottom, when you're struggling. You change the culture in this way. And then all of a sudden, when you are winning games and in maybe a year or two, we will look at Essendon and respect them for the way they play and they're a hard-edged side and teams fear them in the competition. Mm-hmm. But you have to start this at the bottom. So I love the what the players are doing. I love the players they've got in their side. I feel like they've now got players like Sammy Durham, Gresham, even Mason Redmond, obviously has been there for quite a few years. But they've got players around who are ruthless competitors who just love to actually get out in the footy field and compete. And But I feel like what they're doing now is what they have to do. Start at the bottom.
Ben McKay, have you liked the injection of him to that back line?
Loved his game on the weekend. Yeah. I saw Lloydie's comments. I was actually watching the game next to Lloydie on the weekend and talking quite a bit about it, and he was impressed with the way he went about it. I feel like he's been an amazing introduction into our side and really helped our defence down there. And I'm so excited when Jordan Ridley can come back in and just be that intercept defender based off McKay and obviously when Zachary comes back. So I'm very bullish on the back line, as I've always been. That's our main strength. And hopefully once we get a few players back that we can really showcase what we're about.
Well, let's move on to the Tigers. Adam Uze's first win as head coach on the weekend. It was a sensational defeat of the Sydney Swans, wasn't it? They were able to withhold and get it done, but it has come at a cost. So the news broke on Monday. Tom Lynch will be missing, I think it's the next 10 to 12 weeks with a hamstring.
Yeah.
He only managed 4 games last year in 2023, but that wasn't it. Noah Bolter, who's been filling his hole, I guess, in that forward line, he's now out for the next 4 weeks or so with a knee injury. So these injuries are certainly mounting for the Tigers.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that incident with Lynch on the weekend, because I was watching this game, that I felt for him so much because the prime of his career is almost fading away with these massive injuries. He's missed a lot of games. Obviously, he got the flags, but really, he's now the senior player with a couple others, obviously, there at Richmond, trying to develop this younger side there. And he's just, his prime of his career is really fading now that he's missing a lot of games with significant injuries. I just hope he comes back from this tendon surgery and hopefully he can just rehab it and come back. I'd love to see him play another couple of just full seasons because he is one of the best players we have in our game. I love the tall forwards just leading up at the footy, which is what he does to be able to do that. But I just felt for Adam Uze on the weekend. He gets his first win. They play some amazing footy against Sydney. That was a back and forth game. They play amazing footy and then all of a sudden you lose a couple of players and then now you're against it. And especially you lose two tall pillars in your side. And then now they're up against it this week against St Kilda. So feel for them, but it was a great win, at least for the Tigers army to celebrate.
Yeah, Lynch, Bolter, Gibkiss, Prestia, Martin, Graham, Grimes. There's some big names missing from that Tiger side. But as you said, St Kilda this Sunday, 3:20 bounce at Norwood Oval. I love that oval. Skinny wings. There's not much.
Not great for the winger.
Yeah, look, it's not wide, put it that way. We've got to go.
Yep.
I'm about to catch a plane.
Yes.
Gather around this weekend. We cannot wait. This has been your Wednesday edition of Footy Talk. Thank you so much for joining us and we will speak to you next week.